J1.
Number 19A.
Okay, now we turn to compendium number 9, entitled Truth. And we look at our illustrative material with all the ideas that characterize truth. And as we've done with the other synonymous terms, we'll just go through those ideas. And the first idea which we encounter is just that of truth. Now, looking up truth in the various dictionaries, we see that truth means the following. It means reality, actuality, or real state of things. It means conformity to reality, to fact, exact accordance with that which is, or purity from falsehood. So we ask ourselves that question that has been asked since man began to think, and the question is, what is truth? What is actuality? Or what is reality? And as we know then through a religious answer, the answer to the question is that God is truth. And in Christian Science we know that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love stands for God. So we can just naturally then say that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love stand for truth. As they symbolize reality, and they also symbolize that third degree of spiritual understanding. So we can say then, what is truth? An answer, whatever conforms to reality is true. Or whatever conforms with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is the truth. And only that can claim to be true, and only that can claim to be truthful. So very simply then, truth as a super symbol states that all that we have learned so far in reasoning with our super symbols of mind, spirit, soul, principle, and life, that is the truth. Truth, more or less, at this particular point, looks back on all the ideas and that we have discovered through our synonym study and says to us now, that is the truth. It's true that the one mind, which is the only reality, which is definite and changeable, constitutes our true identity. And it's true that the one mind, our mind as life, exists and has life and lives. So truth as a super symbol is something which is quite a comprehensive term, and it just means that the one mind, our mind as truth, is real and that it's free from any error. Then we go on to the next idea on our list, and we come to life truth. Now, scientifically speaking, we can say that the one mind, our mind, has life. Therefore, our mind, which has life, or our divine life experience, is the truth. Or metaphysically speaking, we can say this, that we must live in exact accordance with truth. In other words, we must live in exact accordance with the teachings of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in order to demonstrate divine facts. We know that in order to demonstrate love, health, and holiness, or in order to demonstrate eternal life, divine consciousness, or universal perfection, we must first live according to mind, spirit, soul, and principle. And then we are living a life that is truth. Then we go on and we see that on our list, we see that truth must be sought. Now, actually, this is looking at truth from a very metaphysical standpoint. In reality, truth doesn't have to be sought. Truth is here and now. See, our whole identity principle and our whole government principle is a fact in being. It's real and it's here and now. We really wouldn't have to seek truth. But it's only because truth is misunderstood and truth and reality has been misunderstood. It's from this standpoint of misunderstanding, or from the standpoint of the first and second degree, that it looks like truth has to be sought, and it looks like we have to seek truth. So from our human standpoint, more or less, from the second degree, we seek it. But there is a criteria for seeking truth. And that criteria is that we must first have pure motives. Our motives must be sincere, and they must be righteous. And we must also seek truth for truth's sake. We hear so much in the world about charlatans who are out preaching the truth just to make money. And one could mention many different truth sciences and religious groups that have started up that were finally found out to be just perpetuated by a charlatan. Or this is by a person who claims to possess knowledge or skills that he does not have, by being perpetuated by a quack, so to speak, just in order to make money. So if any of the motives for seeking truth are based on business gains or based for personal glory, they'll always end in some sort of catastrophe or doom. One must really be willing to give up a mortal concept of life and to seek truth for its own sake. So our motives, we can always see if they are true or not true. We have our judgment criteria by the degrees. We see that we must give up any first-degree physical motives for seeking truth, or which probably in the first degree really doesn't seek truth so much. It seeks truth within its own mortal realm. We must even give up a second-degree motives for seeking truth alone. Even the good human hope and faith and belief motives for seeking truth aren't enough. But our big motives for seeking truth, we know then, must be based on the third degree or spiritual motives of such things as wanting wisdom and purity and spiritual understanding. And this brings us the power to just really love truth for its own sake, and then gives us the power to willingly give up our false concepts. Now we come to another idea which characterizes the synonymous term truth, and that is key. And here we see that truth itself is the key to harmony. And in looking up the definition of key in the dictionary, it's really quite interesting. One runs across quite a few definitions for the word key. And so out of the various dictionaries, I've written down the following definitions. Key in music means the key or keynote is the fundamental note to which the whole piece is accommodated. Key also means a crucial fact. It means a keystone, or that which locks or binds structural parts together. Key also is an index, or that which serves to explain or to code, decode, or to interpret. Key means a set of answers to a test. Key is an instrument used for opening or shutting a lock. So we say truth, or mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, symbolizes the keynote. In other words, they symbolize the fundamental facts of reality. Or we can say truth, or mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, is the key, because it serves to explain reality, or it serves to decode or interpret reality, or it provides a set of answers for reality. Or we then can say, use mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love as key in this way, for meaning to open and shut our door of consciousness, meaning that the key opens our consciousness to the third degree, and then of course it could be used for shutting our consciousness to the first and second degree. It has just quite a nice symbolic connotation. Then we go on and see, we have another idea here, and that is to claim truth. And just claim itself from the dictionaries means to call for or to seek. It also means to demand something which one's rightful due. It means an affirmation of truth. So again, we see that truth is a fact which is here and now. And we see that we have, from a metaphysical standpoint then, that we must though seek truth. But it not only must we seek truth, but we must also claim truth. We must also demand the truth. We must demand what is rightfully ours. We must demand our divine selfhood. We must demand the third degree of divine mind awareness. We just then must demand that we are the one mind individualized, that we are governed by divine laws, that we have eternal life, we have divine consciousness, we have perfection. And these are things that more and more I know I mention to you that I try to do in the morning and throughout the day, is just to stay in the rhythm of spiritual being and constantly demand our true identity. And just know, as we've seen under the question of government with principle, even though it appears like our government is being really under a microscope or it's being looked at so closely for any false sense of government, that we're really governed by divine laws, and whatever appears in our life as far as people are concerned or government is concerned, which looks like it's trying to work against us, we know that this isn't true. We put a people universe aside, we put a government universe aside, and we constantly just hold on to divine laws. And the more that we can live by divine laws, the more strength we have, and we begin to see it is like, as we mentioned, we just build a patina, a layer on layer on layer of strength as we, upon ourselves, as we let our lives be governed by divine laws, and you just flow in this atmosphere of certainty. And it's just something that we then try to cultivate more and more, this beautiful spiritual atmosphere, until all of a sudden we just have it. And wherever we go, to a great extent, we carry this atmosphere with us. So the big thing here then is to claim the truth and demand that spiritual atmosphere all the time. And it's so easy for us then to just go out every day and to maybe forget that these divine laws are happening, but just bring our consciousness back and focus on them. Maybe throughout the day we can make it a habit as we wake up to focus. Maybe we can focus at lunchtime. Maybe we can focus again at 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock. But once we start having certain habits of bringing our consciousness back, then all of a sudden we will maintain that same atmosphere throughout the whole day. So we see that it's easy to seek truth, and it's easy to read about the truth, and it's easy to say, oh, how wonderful truth is, and isn't mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love just grand? But we know that this doesn't do a thing for us that's really big. What's only big is if we claim the truth, and we have done things that are very simple. These things are not complex in a learning procedure. If we just stick to simple things and daily do them, such things as our 8 ordered steps to oneness with being, those steps are big. The more I think about them, the more one realizes how powerful they are, because see, our goal is to throw us into that spiritual atmosphere that we can maintain all the time. So whatever our technique is to get us there, it's important. And the 8 ordered steps are a method or a scientific method for us to claim the truth. And we could see, like on that step 3, which is our first step of claiming the truth scientifically in a metaphysical way, where we just go through each of the ideas of the synonymous terms, and when we come like to mind and say that I am the idea of law, and I am the idea of power, and I am the idea of light and inspired thought. Therefore, I am not the illusion of fatigue or overwork or laziness, or I'm not just the illusion of being in an illusion, or I'm not the illusion of being depressed, or I am the idea of spirit, all the ideas of spirit. I'm the idea of order and enfoldment. I'm not the illusion of retrogression or disorder or chaos. And I am the idea of soul, or I'm all the ideas of like definiteness. I'm not the illusion of wandering. I'm the idea of joy, not of sorrow. In principle, then I am the idea of government. I am not under the illusion of personal authority, or I'm not under the illusion of being governed by an anthropomorphic God, or life. I am the one undivided life. Therefore, I'm not suffering under a belief of thinking that there was a before birth, an after birth, a before death, an after death. That it's just the one life here and now. Just I must see it and stay in that hum constantly. I don't have to die to see this. I can experience the one life now and just go through and bridge over that state of death. Because one sees that death is just hanging on to past concepts, hanging on to what we thought is a concept of ourself. But if we are constantly living in the spontaneity of the now, as we saw with life, and if we're all constantly living in the instantaneousness and immediateness of life, then we bridge over death. Because you see, we're new every moment and we die completely to the past. We will never experience a state of death at all. If we just constantly live in the now, constantly live in the now, we bridge over any false claims of death. Then we go on and say, I am the ideas of truth, therefore I am the idea of truthfulness. I'm not the illusion of error, lies. I don't tell lies. There's no need to tell lies because the truth can always be open and it can always be seen and honest. I am the idea of health. I'm not the illusion of sickness. And in love, I am the idea of perfection. I'm not the illusion of imperfection. And so forth. We can see how this builds up a good rhythm within us. And as we go on to step four, we then say, well, if I am the idea of intelligence and law and power, then I am one with mind. And this takes us to step five and say, well, if I am one with mind, then the mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind but that divine mind. Well, so it is with all the other synonyms, but as we do this exercise and keep claiming the truth of the synonymous terms, you see, it just flings us into this atmosphere of spiritual reality which we cannot leave. And then we just begin to very naturally flow with the synonymous terms. They just become warm to us, and we can just go from mind and just, again, just say that there is only one mind, and I am this one mind. I am the idea of intelligence or spirits. I am the one mind, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the one mind. And then here I am the idea of purity and so forth. And so my true mind identity is definite and unchangeable. Therefore, I am the idea of freedom. In principle, my true mind identity is governed by being. And in life, my true mind identity exists, and it's eternal. Therefore, I am the idea of multiplication. Therefore, I experience the spontaneous and instantaneous and immediate appearance of spiritual abundance. And as truth, my mind identity is true and actual. Therefore, I am the idea of divine consciousness, and I experience health and new revelations, here and now. And as love, my true mind identity is perfect. I am the idea of completeness. Therefore, I experience self-fulfillment and loveliness. So as we go through the eight ordered steps to oneness with being, all of the steps, we get a tone of the synonymous terms, and then we can finally flow with them and gain our Christ consciousness. And it's this Christ consciousness which claims the truth. And when it claims the truth and denies error, then we can say we are adherents to the truth, and then we're willing and ready to enter into the third degree of spiritual understanding. So the accent is claim, claim, claim. We then go on to another idea here, and that is of trust. And we see that through Webster, trust means to place confidence in, to rely on, to believe, to commit to the care of, to venture confidently. So, metaphysically speaking, we not only seek the truth of our true identity, we not only claim the truth of our true identity, but there's something else. We must trust the truth of our identity. We must have confidence in truth. We must rely on truth. We must commit ourselves wholly to the truth. And we must venture forth confidently in truth. Therefore, we must be unswerving in knowing our true identity. And you see, knowing our true identity, it means knowing it and not just... all of this trust then is based on understanding and not just on blind belief, which we know is very important. So we can see then our mind as truth is, we could call it a cornerstone. It is a indispensable and fundamental basis of reality. It's more or less a rock. It's firm and immovable, and it's unshakable. So our trust then is a cornerstone. It's a rock, and it's unshakable. It's when we were studying mind, we saw that mind is the basis, the fundamental basis of reality. But here, as truth, we see that this basis, this rock consciousness of mind is experienced. Now we go on to standard, and we say, oh, well, now why is standard an idea which characterizes truth? And standard, through the various dictionaries, means an acknowledged measure of comparison. Standard is a measuring rod or a model. So our super symbols of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, then, we can say are just measuring rods by which we can judge if our thoughts and actions are true or truthful. And turn to your illustrative material entitled The Standard or the Measuring Rod of Truth. And we can just, of course, then see how simple this measuring rod works. And this is good. This is something when we can have people who are interested in Christian Science and we want to somehow explain to them what we say and what we teach in Christian Science. This measuring rod is a simple thing that we can turn to, and we have our basis of science. We can just see then that this measuring rod is divided then into the categories of truth or error. And we see then, we can go through it and say this way. Taking mind, we know through a measuring sense, we can say there's only one mind. So there cannot be minds many, or because there is one mind, this understanding of this fact dissolves the belief of minds many. Or we can say that mind is ever active, therefore we can measure this and know if mind is ever active, there cannot be fatigue and overwork. Or if mind is all-knowing, then we can measure and say, well, ignorance and misunderstanding is an error. And in spirit, if mind is the only reality, then there can't be two realities of mind and matter. If idea is true substance, then there can't be two substances of mind and matter. If mind as spirit is order, then how can there be chaos? And under soul, if mind idea is the basis of our true identity, then there cannot be body identity or mind imprisoned in a matter body. Or mind as soul is definite, unchangeable, and free, then there cannot be indefiniteness, forgetfulness, slavery. And then we say it's principle. If mind as principle is governed by its divine system of laws, then there cannot be government by a human opinion or an anthropomorphic God. In life, if mind as life multiplies its ideas spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately, bringing spiritual abundance, then there cannot be lack, time, mediums, or even repetition. And then if mind as life is eternal, there cannot be death. Or truth, if mind as truth is truthful, there cannot be errors or lies. If mind as truth is divinely conscious, there cannot be then the fact in being of human consciousness, including the subconscious and unconscious. Or if mind as love is perfect, there cannot be imperfection. If mind as love has plan, then there cannot be such thing as plan, no plan or lack of purpose. Now, we know that if our thoughts conform to this standard, then we are living the life that is truth. But also we can see that it's a privilege for us to have this standard. Many people are just plagued by indecisions to know what is real, what is unreal. And we now, as scientists, begin to take for granted our measuring rod. But for some people, just to look at this sheet of paper, it would be mind-blowing to them to see this, because they wouldn't know some of the very simple facts that we have on this sheet of paper alone. So it's something that's very simple, yet it's something that can be of great benefit to us, and also for us helping ourselves understand being, but also in helping others understand science. Now, let's go on then to another idea of truth, and that is that of ideal. Ideal means in the dictionary a standard of perfection or a perfect type. So our super symbols, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love constitute the standard of truth or the ideal standard of truth, the perfect standard of truth. In order to be a perfect standard of truth, though, it must this standard must include all the ideas of all the synonymous terms. And here, just turn to our illustrative material entitled The Ideal. And here, it's just again illustrated for us, just put out very simply, that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, they're the ideal. But they're the ideal when you include all the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So in these columns, we just then have, of course, mind and all the ideas such as intelligence, law, ideas, and spirit, and ideas such as purity and order, and soul, such ideas as spiritual understanding and rule and so forth, and principle, such ideas as spiritual power and system, and life, such ideas as love and method and truth, health and form and love, holiness and plan, etc., etc., etc. This is just our, this is what we call the ideal or the standard of truth. Now, turn to the next illustrative material, and that's the one on ideal ideas. And what we see is that we possess all the ideal ideas. All that is stated on the ideal sheet, we possess, we know all those ideas. And we must see that we must experience all these ideas in our lives. And we do. They come and they meet a specific need. They always do. If there's a specific idea, a new idea in the world, it will always come and somehow adapt itself to our specific need. Let's see, look at this ideal sheet. And we see then that the whole ideal, truth itself, all the divine ideas, translates itself to every specific situation.